Thank you to all of you for joining us as we remember the lives and legacies of these 26 beautiful transgender and gender nonconforming individuals tragically lost to violence. Unfortunately, this list of 26 people is not exhaustive. I've seen some lists that are far longer, and it's a heartbreaking tragedy. The 26 that we have featured today are what were available from the Human Rights Campaign at the time that we prepared for this service. But it's safe to say that there are many more. This is a somber, difficult, and very emotional occasion to gather for. But I believe it is very important because these people deserve to be remembered and to have their names said aloud. They were someone's child, someone's sibling, spouse, parent, coworker, and friend. And we hold each and every one of them in loving memory as valued children of God. They are every bit as important as any other human being in the world, and they deserve to be celebrated for their gender identities instead of being a target of horrible violence. The gospel message today teaches us that love is the most important action and commandment to God. We also find elsewhere in Scripture that it is impossible to please God without love. 1 John 4:8 says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." It may be difficult to think about or even to try to comprehend the word love in light of the intense anguish we experience during a transgender day of remembrance vigil. However, I would put forward for your consideration that these horrible and despicable acts of violence happen due to an absence of love. I would also commend to you my belief that love is the only solution to the completely unacceptable violence, bigotry, prejudice, transphobia, homophobia, and ignorance that is happening to the transgender, gender nonconforming, and LGBTQIA+ community in this nation and in the world. We live in a country where people who claim to be Christ followers and profess to know how God wants each of us to live and act, try to force their views on everyone else. A false and grotesque narrative has been painted where people have to act and look a certain way in order to be worthy of God's love. It is little wonder that a warped viewpoint like this provides justification for some people to act out in violence against the most vulnerable minorities in our nation. When there are those who speak about LGBTQIA+ people as abominations and transgender people as pedophiles and predators, it sadly influences followers of these false teachings to regard people who look and think differently from them as somehow being less deserving of life and happiness. It leads to the violence we are seeing across the country, as well as the widespread legislative effort to erase non-cisgender individuals. The Bible that some people use for the purpose of hate tells us in Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, that love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. It is time for all who claim to follow Christ to practice true love toward all individuals, not just those whom we are comfortable with or who conform to our worldview. True love doesn't make it illegal to access affirmative care. True love doesn't make it illegal to use a restroom that matches one's true gender identity. True love doesn't allow people to kill someone in self-defense because they thought someone was going to turn them gay or trans. True love is not purposely misgendering someone because you disagree with their gender identity or because they don't look how you think someone of that gender should appear. I can't speak for the entire church, but I do speak for this church, St. Mark's Cathedral, and the Episcopal Diocese of Olympia, when I say that we are sorry for any harm and pain we may have caused the transgender and gender nonconforming community in the past, present, or future. We acknowledge that at times we have held incorrect views of people we did not understand and who appeared different than us, and we strive prayerfully every day to treat each person equally and with unconditional love, as Christ expects each of his created beings to be treated. I want to make it clear that this church and diocese stand with you and support and affirm each of your individual gender identities, no matter who you are and how you identify. And we proclaim that you matter. Your lives matter, and you are all sacred to our Creator. Each person gathered here today is perfectly created, and God loves you for who you are and for your true and right gender identity. Whether you are transgender, gender nonconforming, or cisgender, everyone is always welcome at the table. As a transgender woman who started coming to this church over 2 years ago, I can confidently tell you that this is not a platitude. I was told I was welcome at the table after my very first service here, and it has never stopped being true. This church and diocese will continue to push for more acceptance and full equality for transgender and gender nonconforming individuals, and fight against discrimination, transphobia, homophobia, prejudice, and a false portrayal that God only has the capacity to love cisgender men and women. The best way to win this fight is through love, by loving each person who comes through these doors equally and without trying to conform them to a distorted heteronormative vision. We can show the rest of the world what loving someone truly in the image of our Heavenly Mother actually looks like. This also means that we will love the people who hold different viewpoints than us, and I fully acknowledge how difficult that is. However, love conquers all, and fighting hate with hate is not the solution. This love does not mean that we compromise our viewpoints. And let me make it clear that we will stick up for you. There is no tolerance for hate or harassment within these walls. What it does mean is, instead of lobbing vitriol back at the people who so angrily hurl it at us, we will respond with loving encouragement to each other and explain to those on the outside how we love everyone in our community unconditionally, for exactly who they are. They do not have to change themselves, their gender identity, or their sexual orientation before they are welcome at the table. We celebrate each other's differences and identities. That kind of love is infectious and is why our congregation has grown, with people leaving previous faith traditions that don't practice inclusivity. This is how we will change the world, and how we will make it known that we are a refuge for transgender, gender nonconforming, LGBTQIA+, and any individual who is facing persecution. We recently had a protester who was outside our cathedral with his family before a service. And he was shouting at us with a megaphone while holding a sign that talked about hell. When he noticed me, he started to say how much he loved me before purposely and repeatedly misgendering me and telling me how wrong I was. It was extremely hurtful and angering, and I wanted nothing more than to go up to him and confront him. Thankfully, the compassionate and caring clergy, staff, and parishioners at our church, including the Reverend Lindsay, showered me in authentic love and reaffirmed to me how loved, welcome, and valid I am. I experienced a beautiful and peaceful service where I felt the presence of God through the loving people around me. And the sting of the protesters' rejection started to fade. This is the love that conquers all and has the potential to save the world. After the service, the protester departed and our loving community remained. Choosing not to engage in the vitriol is not an easy task, and it's not often our first instinct. I know it's not mine. But I believe choosing instead to surround our transgender, gender nonconforming, and other vulnerable and targeted community members with love is the most powerful option. As we mourn the loss of our beloved transgender and gender nonconforming siblings tonight, I emphatically declare that trans lives matter, gender nonconforming lives matter, trans women are women, trans men are men, and Black trans lives matter. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that BIPOC transgender individuals are disproportionately impacted by violence. This heartbreaking trend continues year after year and shows how much more important racial equality and social justice work needs to be done. In the words of the great Marsha P. Johnson, a trans activist and pioneer who was heavily involved with the Stonewall riot, "History isn't something you look back at and say it was inevitable. It happens because people make decisions that are sometimes very impulsive and of the moment. But those moments are cumulative realities. I challenge each of us to make conscious decisions to bring visibility, affirming words and actions, and most of all, love to the transgender and gender nonconforming community, especially to those of color. One of the most affirming actions for a transgender person is when someone takes the time to learn our pronouns and tries their best to always use them. We all understand that this can be difficult and people will make mistakes, but it makes us feel valued and seen when others make a conscious effort and become better with correct pronoun usage as time goes on. I can't explain how devastating it feels to be called the wrong pronoun without correction, and it can negatively influence my entire day. It's also important to realize that they-them pronouns are just as valid as she, her, or he, him pronouns. Most of us didn't grow up learning they, them pronouns, but it is so life-giving when we use them for an individual who feels affirmed and loved by being referred to as they, them. And these loved ones of ours deserve our time, and they deserve our effort. Another affirming action for transgender individuals is to be treated as the gender we identify as, and not to have assumptions made about us. It is always safest to ask someone first if one doesn't know how an individual feels about a title or gender role assumption. One assumption that was commonly made about me early in my transition was that I was straight since I identified as a woman. This is true for me now, but wasn't always, and I felt like I had to explain myself whenever this assumption was made. Gender identity is separate from someone's sexual orientation, and it's always safest to ask rather than assume. I can't speak enough to the impact of treating a transgender or gender nonconforming person consistently with their gender identity. Probably the single most important factor in building my confidence as a woman is how the women of this parish, as well as some of my other amazing female friends, instantly included me in their female circles and friendships. I truly felt like one of the girls, and this camaraderie has helped me to flourish into the extroverted woman you see before you now. Each transgender person deserves to have this experience. One of the most important actions we can collectively take is to be there for each other and to form community. It's a scary world sometimes, and it can be tempting to adopt a closed-off defensive posture, but we are stronger together. Another decision and action we can all take is to say the names of those lost to violence this year and keep their memories alive. Part of keeping their memories alive is to speak up if someone is being treated differently because of their gender identity. As transgender individuals, we rely on our friends and families to look out for us, even when people are speaking about us when we aren't present. This helps prevent the normalization of isolating and insulting trans people, which can lead to violence. In closing, let me offer a prayer. Dear God, I lift up these precious 26 children of yours, and I thank you for their lives and what they meant to their loved ones. Please comfort and strengthen their families as well as their loved ones, and help use their legacies to end this horrible and senseless violence. I believe that you created each transgender and gender nonconforming person perfectly in your image, and you knew their true names and identities before they were even born. And you love and accept each and every one of them and hold them precious in your sight. Please show us how we can serve these communities in the next year and do our part to reduce the amount of transgender and gender nonconforming individuals lost to violence, especially those in the BIPOC community. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.